entitled The Armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Just bow me. I'm going to pray now for the kids' church and for God's kids, us, as adults. The Lord, just pray for ready minds, alert minds, soft hearts, fertile ground, the seeds of the gospel that have been planted right now in the hearts and minds of our younger people will one day bear fruit and there will be a harvest. We thank you for the planters, the sowers of your word, and we ask perhaps others to prayerfully contemplate whether they'd like to be involved in the kids church ministry, an important role in our church, Lord. We also prepare ourselves to hear from Michael. We pray that he will take his cue from Ephesians, the reading just there, to fearlessly speak your words into our lives. Amen.
Good morning again. Last week I met a pastor whose son is in a really tough unit in the army. In my mind I pictured the pastor's son, Em. Can we call that slide up of the way I pictured him a bit? Although the guy with the full armour gear running through. Although he wouldn't have had a French flag on his shoulder because he's in the Australian Army. But, can you picture a tough Aussie soldier in all his gear doing the hard training to get ready for war? And the unit where this soldier's in is a tough unit. It is physically demanding. I won't give you the details of that, but that's what you expect, isn't it? If you're in the Army, you expect it to be tough sometimes. But the soldier's dad was telling me the toughest thing for his son is not the physical strain. There's plenty of that, but that's not the toughest thing. It's not the physical flak flown at him for preparation for battle. The toughest thing for this soldier is the flak he cops from the other soldiers because he follows Jesus. The physical battle is tough, but the spiritual battle is tougher. Friends, the Bible tells us we are in a war. We need to be armed and ready for battle. So if you've still got open the passage Will read from Ephesians chapter 6. Firstly, from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So put on the full armour of God and stand. So my first point from this is we are in a war. Christian life is described as a struggle, as a wrestle. Elsewhere, Paul refers to his brothers and sisters in Christ as fellow soldiers because we're in a war together. Now, when you sign up for the army, you don't expect to sit on the beach all day. Okay? Soldiers don't expect just to lounge around eating ice creams. Okay? They expect to enter battle. They expect to take risks. As Christians, sometimes we have really strange expectations. Sometimes we're shocked when it's tough to follow Jesus, as if he hadn't warned us. Sometimes we're surprised when life is hard. We have fallen victims to the lies of our culture. We live in a world that promotes instant gratification, not patient perseverance. We live in a world that increasingly thinks hard things are not good things. You see, parenting, the encouraged way to do that a lot of the time is to think hard things for your kids are not good things. Jesus knew some hard things were good things. Remember the core of our message. Jesus died. That is hard. Jesus died for our salvation. That is good. It is very good. God's good plan. And we are following Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we are in a struggle, in a war. And let's look at the nature of this war. From back at verse 11 again. Put on the full armour of God so you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. This is not a political war, fighting for control of our nation. This is not an economic war, fighting to provide a better future for our children or our grandchildren. This is not a military war, fighting back hard against any group who strikes at us. This is not a culture war. This is a spiritual war. We take our stand against the devil's schemes. I could get mocked for saying that, couldn't I? The devil or Satan is treated as a joke in popular culture today. Actually, and I have a really strong suspicion that the devil really likes it that way. Satan is very real. That's very clear across Scripture. Satan opposes God and everything about God, which means Satan opposes everything that is good. Satan is evil. Evil spiritual forces are real. And yes, there are people who claim to have rational explanations for everything in the world purely in material terms. They claim there is no evil and no spiritual forces. can you really explain without the concept of evil? ISIS? Aleppo? Genocides? The cruel things people do to those they should love? It's not just out there. Child abuse? Evil is real. Satan schemes and plans to oppose God. Satan does not want anyone to worship God. That is his number one objective. Satan does not want people living God's good ways. Jesus says Satan from the beginning has been a liar and a murderer. He is a liar. He uses deception to lead people away from God. He is a murderer. He uses violence, uses fear to drive people away from God and God's ways. And, hey, Satan's really effective at spreading lies. I reckon lies are Satan's primary preferred weapon in our culture. Not every corner of our culture, but I reckon that's the main weapon used in our culture because it's pretty effective. Satan has people believing the lie that there is nothing beyond the physical, at least nothing beyond the physical they actually have to worry about in daily life. Which means people don't even consider God. What a win for Satan! And it also means people are not on their guard against Satan's forces of evil because they don't admit there are spiritual forces. Satan has people believing the lie that the way to satisfaction and happiness and the good life is to be true to yourself, to find yourself, to be your authentic self, to pursue the desires you feel in yourself. Satan loves the lie that self-fulfillment is the answer. Now, it doesn't matter to Satan. He's not fussed by the fact that this lie doesn't actually work. You can look at the social sciences and that this way won't actually lead to greater happiness or satisfaction. Because Satan doesn't want you to be happy. Satan wants you to reject God. Satan wants people to look inside themselves for the answers so they won't look out to God and to look inside themselves and not see it honestly from God's perspective. Because then they might look out to God. Satan wants people to live for themselves. He wants you to live for yourself so you won't live for God. And Satan and his spiritual forces, they are effective at spreading these lies right throughout our culture. But in other cultures, Satan uses more the weapon of fear. In other cultures, Satan the murderer has people living in fear of spiritual forces and powers and which are real and powerful, and people are in fear of this, thinking that they are far too strong. And in the city of Ephesus, at the time this was written in the Roman Empire, was one such place. The town of Colossae was another one that was such. And when archaeologists discover evidence of this and the fear of spiritual powers and the occult in their excavations there. So the letters written to Ephesians and the letters written to the Colossians are written to people who are acutely aware of spiritual forces and powers and of the rulers of the spiritual realms. So writing to the Ephesians, Paul doesn't have to convince them that there are evil spiritual powers that are real and powerful. No, Paul has to reassure them that Jesus is stronger than those spiritual powers. That's why it's such an encouraging book. So Paul, I'll just give you one example from chapter 1. Paul writes there, he's been saying that God's power is greater. They could look to God. Verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the work of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. You can hear this is the sort of thing he's... Hey... They might be real, but don't be scared of them. God is greater. We are in a spiritual battle. Satan schemes for evil to draw people away from Jesus and to hurt them. And I look at our society And I see Satan's deceptions everywhere. From the TV to the internet, to social media, to the conversations you hear around the place, to just the assumed values of our culture. So we want to be battle ready for this spiritual war. But as I seek to make myself battle ready, I know the greatest threat to me is not the evil out there in the media or in society. Others falling for Satan's lies is not my greatest danger in this war. Other people living for themselves and living for God is not Satan's greatest attack on me. No, Satan's greatest attack on me comes when Satan tempts me to live for myself instead of for God. When I'm tempted to make myself supreme instead of Christ supreme. My greatest danger in this war is when I live, when I fall for Satan's lies. See, the tendency for evil is right here in this battle. It is a spiritual battle. That's why Paul doesn't offer Christians the option of running away from the battle against evil and building a great fortress to protect themselves and their children from the evil forces out there. Because Satan is a deceiver and the evil forces are already inside the fortress that we might build. So we need, what we are called to do is to be armed and ready for battle. We might like to think we'd be able to shield our children from the battle. But that's not what we're called to do. We cannot shield them from the battle. We need to be helping them to be armed and ready for war. Because there is no escaping the reality of the war. We need to be armed and ready for battle. Yet as we do that, next thing, we could be confident in the battle. We can have confidence in the battle. We face a mighty enemy. Hey, I can't overcome Satan by myself. Even of us together, we can't. We cannot overcome Satan by ourselves. And I've been struck by this personally lately. So I've been struck by my own sinfulness again. So I am thankful that although I am weak and Satan is strong, God is stronger. God overcame Satan on the cross. And Christ showed that victory when he rose. So it says in verse 10, not stand strong in your power, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Not put on your own armour. It says, therefore put on the full armour of God, so you may be able to stand. We could stand strong in God's strength and God's armour. As Carmelo said, read through Ephesians. See that although the forces of evil are mighty, Christ is stronger. As it says in Colossians 2:15. Christ, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross. Jesus has won our victory, so we need to rely on his strength in the battle. Our strength is never enough, but Christ's strength is. That's why we're to put on the full armour God has given us. We need to put on the armour and be battle ready. You can see on the slide there, Paul uses imagery his original readers would have been very familiar with. And if you think particularly every boy who's ever gone through Sunday school is familiar with, because we always get this shared with, the girls probably have to get it as well. He uses the imagery of the armour of a Roman soldier. Starts off verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. All the armour is held in place by the truth of the gospel. All the weapons are held in place by the truth of the gospel. See, when Satan reminds you, hey, you are a sinner. You are not good enough for God. When Satan reminds you that, you can stand firm in the gospel of the truth. Because God, the truth is from the gospel that God knows how bad you are. He knows that better than you ever will. But God loves you. And Jesus died for you. You are loved by the ruler of the universe. put on the truth that in Christ you are dearly loved child of God, and nothing Satan throws at you could take that away. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. You know what a breastplate is? The bit that goes over the chest, protect the vital organs, the strong. This is called a breastplate of righteousness. It's not the first time the breastplate of righteousness is buckled on in the Bible. It's buckled on by somebody else earlier, back in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 59, God himself sees the injustice and sin in the world and among his people. And we read from midway through Isaiah 59, verse 15. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm, God's arm, worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. God put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. God sees the evil and injustice in the world, and God straps on the breastplate of righteousness and deals decisively with evil. See, God is the righteous one. He is right and true and just. And this dealing decisively with evil, something God as the righteous one has to do, but the great news is for us, he has done that for us on the cross. God dealt with evil so we could live lives. We can live lives that are right and true and just in him. So now God offers you his breastplate, custom made for you, so you could put on the righteousness and justice of Christ to be the most right and true and just person as you have been made for you. You can live a life that is right and true and just because of what Jesus has done for you. But don't expect living God's way to be easy. This is not some flimsy party shirt he's giving you. It's easily torn. This righteousness is a metal breastplate for battle. And it continues back at Ephesians, verse 15. Have the breastplate of righteousness in place and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. On your feet, ready to go, you have the gospel of peace. Do you notice that this is battle imagery, fighting imagery, when you're getting hit, knocked hard? Now, but in the midst of that, the good news is described as the gospel of what? Of peace. I assume this is not just me. But when I'm under attack, my first thought is not, oh, I'm being hit really hard, I'll share a message of peace. Okay? I struggle with that. I suspect other people might. When I feel under attack, I feel more ready to kick out with a message of condemnation and judgment than with the gospel of peace. But who is our great king we are following? Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus who cried, Father, forgive them, as he was crucified. In this life and death battle with spiritual forces, it will be hard. But even in the midst of this battle, we are to step out with the gospel of peace. We're not waiting for the battle to finish, and then we'll say, when it's all calm, we'll step out with the message of peace. No. Even when society is hostile, we step out with the message of peace. And it's a great opportunity to do that with the Mark drama at the moment. You know, we're sharing the gospel of peace, the message of Jesus. So it's not going to be any political statements or pressure or anything like that. It's an opportunity to meet Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So please be praying about inviting friends and stepping out with that message. Then we've got continuing with the armour. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So getting back to the battle imagery, you get back to the fight, you go, and you suddenly you get a little respite and the blows raining down and you catch your breath for a moment, there's a little lull in the fight and then you catch out of your eye, you catch light things, flaming things coming down from the sky. And flaming arrows are raining down on you and they're threatening to pierce you. And they're setting fire to everything around you. Now, if that is you, if you are a soldier, what do you do? Do you say, ah, flaming arrows, drop your shield and run away? Is that what you do if you're a soldier? No, I don't deserve this. This is too hard. No. No, you take up the shield of faith. You take up your trust in God and in all He has done for you. Your confidence is in Christ. You know the battle is hard, but God is still mighty. That's why shield of faith. So you lift up your shield and extinguish those arrows. Put out the flaming arrows. And take the helmet of salvation. The enemy is striking at your head, attacking again and again, attacking you with self-pity, attacking you with greed, attacking you with loss, attacking you with anger. But you have on the helmet of salvation. You know that Christ has saved you. You know that you have more blessings in Christ than anything you might miss out on in this world. You know Christ has saved you completely by His work and Satan will not overcome you. So you put on, you have the helmet of salvation on, so you stand firm. And continues, put on the, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You attack with the sword of the Spirit, with the Word of God, with the Bible. I've got to say, when I've gone through dark times in the last week or so, the number of times I've opened my Bible for my planned readings and God has spoken directly into my situation to destroy Satan's lies, to help me look to heaven. It has been astounding, whether it's been Psalms or Acts or 2 Corinthians. The Spirit has taken God's word and cut through Satan's lies for me. I am so grateful for His mercy in the battle. Because it's not always like that. Earlier in the month, reading the word felt more like chewing cardboard than cutting through lies and looking to heaven. But if you're a soldier, okay, and you've got a sword, when is the first time you take out your sword? Is it when you're in the midst of the darkness of the battle? No, otherwise you won't know what to do with it, will you? Your grip and your sword arm won't be strong. You need training and swordsmanship. Practice. Just like a soldier trains with his sword before the enemy is right on him, we need to practice our swordsmanship by reading God's word. That's why I've been so encouraged by the people who have found the E100 has helped them build a Bible reading habit. And I want to encourage you to think and pray, whether you've been doing the E100 or whether you haven't, about how you could build your daily sword practice in the future weeks. Dorothy will bring some resources in coming weeks if you want to have somebody to bounce lots of ideas around with. Find the form of sword training that works for you. We need to be battle ready. Finally, always, as we make ourselves battle ready, we need to remember where the real power is. Hey, the real power is not with you, it's not with me. Where is the real power? The real power is with God. Last slide. And so reading from verse 18, because the real power is with God, we pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray for one another, brothers and sisters. And pray also for me, please, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Never think you can be battle ready if you neglect prayer. I have made that mistake before. It is disastrous. Be battle ready. Put on the armour of God and pray to the one who is stronger than Satan. Where are you at this morning? Some of you are overwhelmed by the fight. You feel the enemy is too strong. Can I encourage you? Take up the shield of faith, your trust in all God has done for you. Put on the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. Live his way through what he has done by his Spirit. Pray and stand firm. In Christ, be battle ready. Or maybe you're coasting at the moment. It'd be wonderful if you... Maybe it wouldn't be wonderful. Maybe you're suffering a lull in attacks, which means we can forget that the devil is still scheming. Fit on the sandals of peace. Take out the message. Take up the sword of the Spirit. Make yourself keep battle ready. And pray God will help you to step into the battle. Not shield you from it. God will help you to step into it. Or maybe you're feeling at the moment you've failed as a soldier for Christ. Can I encourage you? Put on the belt of truth. The gospel of truth, that God knows all your failings, yet Christ died for you and has risen, given you life. Put on the helmet of salvation, reminding you that you are completely secure in him. Pray to God, who is greater, who is mighty, when you realize just how much you are not mighty. In Christ, you can be battle ready. So be battle ready. Put on the armor of God. And pray to the one who is stronger than Satan. Then you can stand firm in the battle. Strong in the Lord and in his mighty power.